Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening as I continue my series of interviews with different land professionals from around the nation. Each broadcast is sponsored by the website landthink.com, which is an absolutely great resource that services all your land needs. I encourage you to return to each broadcast so you can continue to grow your knowledge about land. This broadcast is the only place on the Internet where you'll experience the very best insights about the depth and breadth of vacant land. I'm Russell Ward, your host, and I'm a full-time land investor and author of Vacant Land Guide, How to Buy Vacant Land at Wholesale Prices. This program is about learning about how to start your own land business, and it's a very easy process, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that after what we've talked with our guest today. But first of all, if you have any questions, there's a live chat feature here if you're listening live on my on your computer screen. So make sure if you have a question that you'd like Jason to answer, don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you. So today I've invited Jason Walter, and Jason is founder of Carolina Land Realty in Greenville, South Carolina. And Jason has extensive experience in both commercial and residential land development. In the past 7 years alone, he has headed acquisitions for land development projects totaling more than $300 million in 31 different states. With that experience, he has decided to start Carolina Land Realty, and he has two offices in South Carolina and one in North Carolina, all revolved around land. His vision is to utilize the state-of-the-art geographical information systems, or the GIS maps for short, to pinpoint optical land tracts and then conduct comprehensive research to determine the land's best use. So he combines his experience with commercial and residential development services along with his general brokerage, and so he has really positioned Carolina Land Realty as a leader in his local market when it comes to land. So, excuse me, I've asked Jason to join me as I feel he's developed a very unique business model for land that speaks to our current economic times. But before we delve into those details, let's get better acquainted with Jason. So Jason's on the line. So, Jason, everybody's curious most of all, how did you get into land since you've been in land now for a few years?
I actually, back in 2001, met a gentleman named Dan Bruce who owns a company called Realty Corp in Greenville, South Carolina. And he's been in the land business forever and done very well at it. And he offered me a position to come on and put land deals together for his company. And I did that for about 3 years, and that's what took me all over the country. The largest deal I actually did was in Roar, Colorado, right outside of Denver. But we were in 31 states, and I worked with a lot of the brokers in those states, and we partnered up with the commercial brokers firm NAI and worked with them throughout the country. But that got me into the commercial side of it, and then I went from there down to Florida and worked with an Australian company that was based in Orlando, had a U.S. base in Orlando called Heritage Green, and that's where I really started getting. Realty Corp was very high tech and kind of state of the art on the commercial side. These guys were high tech and state of the art on the residential side. They were residential developers, mm-hmm. And just kind of took all my knowledge from the two companies and my experience in the field and working with the landowners and came back to Greenville, South Carolina, and created and started up Carolina Land Realty.
Okay, so it was—I guess you might say—it was kind of time to not work for someone else, but take what all your experiences and really kind of start your own business.
Yeah, I have the same disease that other people have. I've been an entrepreneur since I was about 5 years old, so you know, it's. Always broken, always working, but it was never a doubt in my mind that I would be on my own at some point. But you know, it was wonderful experiences, and just learned a phenomenal amount from the people I worked with, and just kind of applied it in a different way too. Those are both development companies, and mostly what we're doing now is on the brokerage side.
Sure.
We do work for a lot of developers putting land together, but you know, I really saw a niche in the land brokerage world when I was working for those development companies, because you know, there just wasn't very many people out there that were focusing solely on land.
Right, exactly. Now, how long ago did you start Carolina Land Realty?
At the end of 06, January 07 was really when we kind of got our own shop and brought in some employees.
So tell me a little bit about your vision for Carolina Land Realty. You've mentioned about, you know, being a brokerage now more than anything else, but specifically you're finding land deals, but and having talked to you a little bit about this before, you've been real assertive about finding pieces of land that were not on the market and convincing owners to list properties with you. Is that correct?
That is, and that's one thing that I saw when I was in the development side, that you know, 90% of real estate is reactive and not proactive, and that's where, you know, Mr. Smith at church wants 100 acres of land, so he goes to his buddy and he goes and finds it for him, whereas we go out and pretty much comb entire counties at a time. It takes us 8 to 10 months and speak to, in some form or another, pretty much every landowner in that county that has, you know, certain size acreage in certain areas. We kind of define what we're targeting in certain areas and
mm-hmm.
go out and talk to all those people and start formulating the relationship. So, you know, when Mr. Smith at church comes to us, we already know exactly what he needs and where a good deal is, and
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty smooth process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we spoke the other day, you know, landowners are it's not like selling a house or selling a commercial building. You know, most of these people buying this land were born on the property, have, you know, worked on the property their entire life. A lot of widows that have a lot of memories that they don't want to let go of. And so it's a difficult, very emotional process for these people to sell. And a lot of the time it makes all the sense in the world financially and from their physical standpoint. They might need to be in a nursing home or whatever else, but it's just really, really a tough break for these people. I've always jokingly said that landowners love their property more than their kids. But
and
in some cases that's not a joke, but most
right.
of it.
Right, right.
What's that?
Well, I said the oftentimes the piece of land is really evolves to be a family member because it's been in the family forever. You know?
It is. It's almost a cornerstone of the family in some circumstances.
You know,
I mean,
some of these families actually have a special name, like Selenoma, for their piece of land. I mean, they actually have a name for it as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not the tract over by the river. You know, so
yeah.
It has a name to it. It has emotions attached to it, and so part of your business model then is that a lot of these pieces, though, they weren't on the market, and you're helping them to see that maybe there is a market for their piece of property. And then it takes some time, but then you help them to be the listing agent for it then, right?
We do. And, you know, when we get through a county, we obviously get a lot of listings just from sheer numbers. But really the root of our business is about creating the relationships with landowners because, you know, we have a very detailed follow-up system. Because these people might not want to sell today, but in 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, at some point in time, they're going to want to sell or need to sell, and we want to be the person there when they need that assistance. We want to be there to be able to assist them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you have three offices, which is quite remarkable that you have three offices. You've got two in South Carolina, and then the one in North Carolina is in Asheville, correct?
Correct. We have a small little satellite office in Asheville, and we just opened our Charleston office beginning of this year.
And then the main office is in Greenville.
That's where headquarters is.
Okay, that's where the headquarters is. Now, so that means now you have to convince some realtors to become land realtors. How do you find some folks to jump on board with you for that?
We go straight to the universities, and the reason we do that is because it is there's we found it very difficult early on to read. You know the old saying, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, and we found it difficult for people who've done certain types of real estate for a long period of time to relearn. And our system's a lot different than any other I've come across. So what we've done is gone to the universities and we hire them right out of college. And fortunately, we have some great universities, you know, around all of our offices. And
sure.
That's where we've brought in. Now, our commercial, we have some commercial land guys that, you know, had a previous experience, and that's a little bit different. But on the rural land side, all of our employees came, you know, we're the only person they've worked for.
Okay. So now, if you were to sit down and do a little sales, do a short sales pitch to someone's in college and says, and say, come work for me, what would make it enticing for someone to come work for you in the context of rural land?
Well, and it does take a certain type of personality, that's for sure. We actually bring them in as interns their senior year so that they can start to work while they're still on mom and dad's payroll. And start to build up their, you know, their business. So when they graduate, they're not start from scratch. That's probably the most important thing we do. But besides that, you know, we bring them in the office. They meet. We have a very young team, and you know, we have a very high energy level. We constantly are bringing in speakers or reading books and discussing them. You know, we have an environment in our office that just breeds, you know, positivity and are big. And that's tough in today's market when you cut on the TV or read the newspaper and it just sounds like the world's coming to an end. But we really, really, you know, that's a really big part of our company. And so when they come in for the first time and meet our team, they're pretty enthused from the get-go, just from the team that we have. And we're very close-knit. I mean, we go fishing and hunting and shooting and
sure.
sporting events, and we do a lot of things together. So it's really like a family, and I think people feel that when they come into our office. And so we get them in, and then we actually take them out into the field for what we call door knocking, and that's when we, you know, can't get somebody on the phone, we go knock on the door. And that really kind of throws them to the wolves real quick and see if that's something they want to do. And,
sure.
You know, the landowners in our area are just – So friendly. I mean, I can't even explain how friendly and easy to work with they are. So
mm-hmm.
usually when somebody goes out and they, you know, typically our meetings are on a front porch or in a living room, you know, talking to some guy on a tractor. It definitely, you know, you're not going to get people who are planning to go into accounting usually don't come to our interviews and leave with wanting to come on board. It's usually somebody who is, you know, in more of a marketing or real estate is kind of what they want to do. But it does take a certain personality, you know, pretty outgoing to be able to fit into the role that we have.
So what you're attempting to do, if you're hiring someone to be a part of your team, you have an expectation that they would be outgoing and relational, because really that's you're developing, initiating a rapport cold with the landowner, but then you're asking your realtor to continue to nurture that relationship over time. Would that be right?
Correct. What, you know, one thing back also that it's really important that we project when we first meet with these landowners is we all know the land's not liquid, but we try to make it as liquid as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what I mean by that is when people put their land on the market, they might not be excited about selling right now, but if, you know, if they have it on there and maybe it takes a year or two to sell and maybe the price is at market or maybe a little bit above, we put on the market and they can go ahead and start generating interest and tracking the, you know, keeping in the database all the people who've called on the property and the interest. So that one day if they call and say, hey, Jason, I really need to sell this property, you know, Aunt Sue died or whatever the situation may be, we say, okay, well, you know, if you really want to sell today, it needs to be at this price. And at that point, we've got an existing database that has shown interest in their specific property,
mm-hmm.
and we can go and hit them and, hey, look, you know, price has been adjusted. this is a deal, and usually it allows them to be able to sell a lot quicker versus if they wait and call us once Aunt Sue dies, you know, they're starting from scratch. It can take, you know, 6 months to a year to sell that property.
Sure, sure. Now, I'm an investor. I'm not a realtor, so I'm going to ask a stupid realtor question, but I feel like it's kind of a stupid question in the sense that does a typical realtor, when if I'm listing my house and then there's a number of calls at my to my realtor, does a typical realtor actually write down all that person's information and keep it on file? Is that a typical way to do business in the realty world?
It's supposed to be. I mean, typically, I hate sticky notes on people's desks because typically they get put on a sticky note and thrown in the corner of the desk and they get lost. But what we do is we actually have a form that they fill out when they call the realtor, and they're required at the end of each month to send a prospect report to the actual landowner so that they can see everybody who called, what they asked about, if there was a concern on the property, who they took out of the property. So they have we have a very detailed tracking system so that if, you know, the listing runs out and it was because it was overpriced or whatever reason, we can go back to the landowner and say, hey, look, you know, we had 50 people call, all said your price was over market. You know, I think we need to adjust the price. And at that point, they either, if they want to sell, it's hard to argue if, you know, if they're really not serious about selling them.
Well, what you're doing, though, is that you're sending a communication piece to them once a month to let them know what kind of interest there was in their property. Because I know that one of my challenges when I've worked with realtors in the past is that I feel like I'm having to call the realtor and asking them if anybody's called about the property. And you're going back to your proactive stance.
Exactly.
You're saying, that you're anticipating the one thing that they want to hear is the feedback from the office, how things are going, so that they don't feel like they're out in the cold and they feel more reassured about the process. Would that be correct?
Correct. And it's on the same lines. I've bought and sold a lot of property, and I've had the same situation where, you know, I had to call, you know, 90 days after the listing to figure out what's going on. And basically, our entire business model, Russell, has been built around my experiences on the development side and investor side and the inefficiencies and that I saw in the brokerage world, and they were just applied, you know, into that model. And that's really what's come out of it is what we do.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because it has been my experience that when I make contact with the seller, whether it be by phone or in person, to convince them to sell their property, that oftentimes it takes 3 to 5 contacts before they'll even say they're interested. And so you're having a lot of patience, but you're teaching your team to have a lot of patience with these sellers, again, because we're going back to the thought process that it's the piece of land is actually like a family member. So most of your landowners actually live on or near the property. Is that the case, or in North Carolina, is that different where there's a lot of seasonal people that go there? Is it a little different there?
Up in North Carolina it would be, but in South Carolina it's not. Most of the people live on the property and have lived on it their entire life.
Okay.
You do have, and I'll give you another example of a live deal right now. We've got a 565-acre tract of land listed, and there's a 100-acre piece that's really crucial to the whole thing that somebody else owns, and one of the owners lives in Virginia and one lives, I think, in Alabama. One of them wants to sell, but because it was actually a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law, she actually grew up on the property or near it. I don't even think they lived on it. I think she just grew up near it.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling my agent today, because she doesn't want to sell, she hasn't been to the property for probably 10 years, will probably never step foot on the property again, but she's holding on to those memories.
Right.
And it's not only, it's hard, and it's for people to even let go of the memories, even though the physical land itself could be sold and those memories will still be there.
Right.
But just that emotional attachment, even for people who haven't seen the land in 10 years, is intense.
Yeah, it really is intense. In fact, you know, one of the things I'll say to them is that I'm going to find a good family to be the new owners, and they're going to take very good care of that property.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they hear things like that, that the reassuring word from either a realtor or someone like me, I think that that kind of helps them to kind of release the property to someone else. But that it is a challenge. It is a challenge. But what I've learned from you is that you're able to go out and whether it would be and develop a long-term relationship with them so that they get to the point when they're ready to sell either quickly or whether they're ready to sell down the road, Carolina Land Realty is right on the top of the list and maybe the only person or business on the top of the list when it's time to sell the property. And I think that's what the realty community needs to hear, one of the key things that, you know, that you do, how proactive you are, and I think that's such a great word. Now let's move over to the buyer side. Are you getting some buyers? Are you getting people calling and asking?
We've seen since probably the first week of December more activity from then till today than we saw the last 6 months of last year combined. I mean, the phone has absolutely been ringing off the hook. And it's not just us. I was in Meads West Vaco, the timber company. I was in their office, and they do in-house sales last Thursday, and they said the same thing. They said since the second week of December, their phone, you know, they're pulling 20-hour days, just all the deals they've got coming together. So the rural land business is definitely on the upswing.
Okay, and, well, give us your opinion why there's been increased activity in the last, say, 2 months compared to the previous 6 months. What is changing or has changed?
Well, in general, and I was talking to a banker from Ag South a few months ago, in the history of the U.S., during a recession, rural land thrives, and that's just due to the security and the tangible asset, you know, the hard asset that you own. For us as a company, we brought on a marketing person, Susan Gravely, back about a little over a year ago. And for any firm out there that doesn't have a marketing person or department, I highly recommend it. But her department has done just an unbelievable job of spending days and days and hours on the internet finding websites like LandThink and others like that and LandFlip and you know, companies that promote land, and we've just signed up for everything you can sign up for and continue to do so. And we've generated a lot of leads from that. You know, we are in a lot of publications and anything we can do to promote the land, because at the end of the day, I was thinking about this earlier when I was thinking about our conversation, but it's kind of like a builder who builds a house. That builder, he knows that house better than anybody. But I'm not going to go hire that builder to sell the house. It's the same way with land. You can know land up front and back. You can know every type of species of trees and all the timber and this and that. But if you're not an expert on marketing, you know, you might sell a handful of tracts a year. And a lot of people do that, run a one- or two-man show. But if you want to have a machine that's going to thrive and grow, you've got to be a marketing machine. And in this market and this day and time, that's crucial. And I can't emphasize if our marketing person, Susan, wasn't in our office, the whole machine would just stop. I mean, it would just come to a complete stop.
So two key things that you're bringing up, because I'm going to go back to your word proactive. You're being proactive instead of reactive, but also you're commenting, and hopefully the listeners are hearing this, that marketing is important to get your presence out, but you're getting your presence out on the internet, you know, nationally and internationally, where people can see your information. So you probably have, do you have more than one person in your marketing staff at this point, or?
We've got a couple, but Susan does most all the work. She does pretty much everything. And I want to point out one other thing, too, because we spent a fortune on making this mistake. And it might not be a mistake for some, but we spent a ton of money on web optimization and internet marketing and for our own website, and I believe that you really need to have a very professional, good website itself. Mm-hmm. But we stopped spending all of that money, and I mean thousands and thousands of dollars a month we were spending on trying to get people to come to our website. In return, we went and spent $20, $30, $40 a month to sign up for, you know, Land Flip and all these other programs. I think we're members of probably 14 or 15. And I think if you added them all up, I think we spend $400 or $500 a month. And the activity to our site and just the calls, it was no comparison. So we cut our overhead immensely in our marketing and had much better results going through some of these other sites.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's what, you know, that's why people want to listen to what we have to say, because we're going to find that there's going to be more and more people interested in rural land in general, but there's going to be more and more realtors who want to gravitate to land. And so these are some of the key points that they need to hear as they begin to kind of grow their business. Now, do you plan to expand to other offices as well, or are you just going to stay with your three offices? What's your future plan?
No, we've got a 10-year plan. We've dissected South Carolina and North Carolina into regions, mm-hmm. and we plan to have an office down in Beaufort, Myrtle Beach, Columbia, Charlotte, Raleigh, Greensboro. We plan to add offices in all of those locations over the next 5 to 10 years.
So you really see that? I mean, that's pretty astounding that you want to establish all this, and I'm not saying I disagree with it, but, you know, people don't talk about land right that much in the media and in normal conversation. You're really saying there's going to be that much activity in the next 5 to 10 years that it warrants further offices?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was an article that you forwarded to me that, you know, showed that 60% of baby boomers wanted to be in small town or rural area. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a drastic number of people, because I've sold a lot of lots and communities in the Carolinas, you know, $500,000 to $1 million lots that are no more than an acre in size on golf courses and lakes. And people are starting to realize they can go down the street for less money and have 100 acres.
Right.
And that doesn't appeal to everyone, but there is a distinct population that does appeal to, and I believe that is growing. I believe strongly in that. And the other thing, too, is you know, we're covering a large area because you do need to cover a large area, I believe, to have a sustainable land business. Because at the end of the day, some of these large tracts, they don't move as fast as houses or shopping centers or things like that. So it is a, you know, you do need to be in at least a couple counties.
Hmm. Interesting. And your buyers are calling primarily from what regions of the country?
They're calling from all over, primarily Florida, Northeast, for us here in the Carolinas. I had a guy call from Canada the other day. I've sold a lot of land to people from California also, but primarily the Northeast and Florida.
Now, if someone from the Northeast wants to buy in South Carolina, I mean, is there game plan to actually move to South Carolina at some point?
Yeah, I'd say at least half are planning on having a full-time residency and living there. There's another popular concept, and again, this is more for the super wealthy, but a lot of people are having what they call family compounds, and they might have one here, they might have one in Montana, and one in Florida, where they have, you know, and their families meet there. One, they might meet here for Thanksgiving and out west for Christmas or things like that, and different family members have access to it, and they can come in at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily people coming down to retire. You know, they might have a place, a big track. I see this a lot. They might have a big track of land in the upstate of South Carolina or western North Carolina, and then a beach house or condo on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of have the best of both worlds. They can go down there, and they're living in a small space, but they're on the ocean, and then when they want to have more freedom and get away, they come up to their large tract of land, mm-hmm. and they usually cost about the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been my assessment, and I'll ask you to whether you would agree with me, that people are buying rural land for two primary reasons, either for investment or to retire on. I mean, would that be...
Well, there's another massive segment that's buying for recreational use. And that's, you know, business people, doctors, lawyers that might live in, say, Greenville or Charleston, and they want to have 100 acres, you know, within 30, 45 minutes of town where they can go out on the weekend and shoot sporting clays or hunt or ride their four-wheelers, just kind of a getaway. That's probably actually the most popular buyer in our market.
Mm-hmm. Well, LandFlip just completed a poll to confirm that, that they asked what type of land were you searching for, and over 40% of the people that participated in the poll were going to buy either hunting land or recreational land.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be confirming that what you're talking about. So their people are buying for investment. They're buying for recreational use to hunt on or to fish on or to four-wheel on, and then some people to retire on. So, but what's really interesting, are you saying that there's not that many buyers from South Carolina wanting to buy in South Carolina? They're actually coming from other states?
No. Most all the recreational buyers are coming from South Carolina.
Recreational buyers. But
usually your recreational buyers are usually within an hour of the property.
Okay.
It's the retirees and second home type people that are coming from out of state.
Out of state, then. Okay. Now,
the other thing, too, Russell, that's really, really important, and I think that, you know, there's only going to be a window of opportunity. And this goes back to the recreational land, you know, when you start getting into the $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 an acre property, that really starts to eliminate a lot of those recreational buyers because it just becomes too expensive. When you're at, you know, $1,500 to $3,000 an acre, it becomes affordable to people and they get excited about it. During this down market, there's no developers buying land at all right now that I know of.
Right.
And that allows recreational buyers to go into areas and buy land at a reasonable price. When this market turns and those developers go back and they start expanding out into these more rural areas, the price of land, it doesn't go from 2 to 3,000, it goes from 2 to 10. And that absolutely will eliminate a lot of these people being able to buy recreational land. So I think timing is, you know, I think there's only a short window here for people to really grab some of this recreational land.
So if a recreational buyer calls up, do you encourage your staff to say that to the person who's thinking about buying?
Well, we try to figure out exactly what they're looking for first. They do, you know, throughout the conversation, they'll definitely bring that up. I'm over in Georgia right now, and I know recreational land in certain parts of Georgia has gotten up to $8,000 or $10,000 an acre, and that's really limited a lot of people, and that forces people to go to other areas. But as development reaches out, you know, as it grows out of Charleston and it grows out of Greenville, which it's already done in the northern Greenville area where you used to could get land for $2,000 to $3,000 an acre, now it's anywhere from 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all because the developers started going up there in the mountainous area and developing.
Right.
They were developing in rural areas, but a developer can afford to pay a lot more typically than just a recreational buyer.
Sure.
And once one of those sales takes place, every landowner within 5 miles thinks that's what his land's worth, and that really creates a sticking point for everybody.
It does. It really does. That's for sure. All right. Well, we're winding down on our time, unfortunately. So let's talk a little bit about your business and promoting it, and then maybe you have a tract or two that you'd like to talk about to kind of let people know what kind of real estate is available in your great state.
Definitely, I appreciate it. We have land all over the Carolinas, primarily in South Carolina. We do have some tracts in North Carolina. We have one particular property I wanted to mention that is was owned by a timber company that's 565 acres right off of I-26 between Greenville and Spartanburg. It's got 8 miles of river frontage, and it's just an extremely unique piece of property. You're 15 minutes to downtown Spartanburg,
wow,
probably 30 minutes to downtown Greenville. So it's one of the most unique pieces I've ever seen because you have very easy access off the interstate. It's so large you can't even hear a car, and you're within 15 to 30 minutes of two of the largest cities in the state of South Carolina. So, and it's priced at $2,900 an acre. So that's one specific property that I would encourage anybody looking for recreational land to jump all over. And people have. We've had it listed for about a week, and we've had several dozen calls already.
Mm-hmm.
As far as anybody out there who just wants to come to the Carolinas and check us out, you can go to our website at www.carolinalandrealty.com, or you can reach us on the phone at area code 864-331-1600. And, you know, we'd be glad to talk to anybody and explain to them what we have. There's you know, we have tons and tons of listings, so I don't want to get into too much detail on any of them. I did want to feature the timber tract with the river frontage. But, you know, we just would like to help anybody who wants to come to the Carolinas, help them find their land. If there's anybody that's wanting to sell their land, we'd like to help them also. But, you know, it's a great place to live. It's a, you know, the people are extremely friendly, and we'd be very, very delighted to have anybody come and join us.
Excellent. Well, Jason, thanks for taking time out of your day to be on the broadcast. Just for the listeners who are listening live right now, this will actually be archived in the next hour, where you can actually return back to this website and listen to it over and over and again. I'm sure Jason is going to have every employee at the office listen to this interview by the time it's said and done.
That's for sure.
But I appreciate you coming on the line. Again, I have that website even in front of me. It's CarolinaLandRealty.com, CarolinaLandRealty.com. It is a gorgeous site, so Jason has spent a lot of time in putting that together. But it's easy to get around at the same time, because, you know, sometimes you get it to a website and it's a real challenge to understand where to go. But Jason's site is real easy to work with. So, Jason, thanks so much for being on the broadcast, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you, Russ. I very much appreciate it.
All right. Very nice. Happy trails, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. So that was a great interview with Jason. He is really has a lot of expertise, but he has expertise not only when it comes to being understanding what it means to be the developer, but he understands what it means to have a land realty business in the midst of our economic times. And keep in mind that his prediction, which I agree, is that rural land will continue to grow in demand. But it was interesting to hear, since about the first or second week of December, there has been increased activity where different buyers are interested in buying land. And again, for a couple of different reasons: investment for recreational use and to retire on. So those are some of the different reasons why people are buying. But they're not only buying 1 acre, they're buying hundreds, if not thousands, of acres. And in fact, I have a quote from Investors Business Daily that kind of goes along with that, and I'll read this to you. It says, "Becoming a land baron was once considered the domain of billionaires." And that's so true, that when we think of people that own land, we think of the Ted Turners of the world, those that have been in land for quite some time. But the assessment by Investors Business Daily is that land has gotten more affordable for the smaller players to invest in, as prices have dropped in tandem with the housing market. And Jason's insight today was that developers are not buying land right now, and so that is keeping the prices oftentimes between $1,000 and $3,000 an acre for some very good tracts of land. And so the investors are really going to find some very good deals in this market. And so, you know, one of the roles that Jason plays as well as I play is that we help to connect buyers and sellers. And I'm utterly convinced that land is by far the simplest and easiest form of real estate to work with on the planet. I have a number of investor friends that what they do is they find a house and they fix it up, and they spend 80 to 100 hours just getting it ready to get it back on the market by doing repairs and marketing and so forth. And yet I can spend typically about 5 to 10 hours on a deal that's 20 acres or less, and I can make almost the same amount of money on a small parcel deal than someone can make on a rehab. So that's why you'll hear me say over and over, if you ever hear me talk again, how easy and simple it is to be a part of land. But if you're not already involved, this is a great opportunity for you to develop a competitive edge you're looking for in real estate, because land is really the place to be in 2009. If you would visit my website, www.vacantlandguide.com, I have an article that I actually talk about that we are in the midst of the beginning stages of the greatest land rush in U.S. history, where I document in Oklahoma how there was a land rush in Oklahoma in the 1890s where hundreds of people went out and put a stake on their new piece of land. But now we're in the midst of another great land rush, and what's driving people again is the key indicator, the economy is slumping, and people have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market, if not more, on a personal level. And what they're doing now is people are looking to land in which to put their money. And, you know, the quote from Jason was that in a history of a recession, rural land thrives. And absolutely, I agree 100% with that. But I think where I'm at today is I'm going to talk a little bit about my turnkey program and how it meets the need for those that are interested in getting involved in land on the investment side. And so I'm the only real estate trainer in the country that is talking about rural land and how to make deals on property at 30 to 50 cents on the dollar. But I have a strategy. If you don't have a lot of money to invest in real estate right now, but you want to make money in real estate, I can actually teach you how to secure contracts on properties with no money down, and how you can write contracts for no money down, and that you can actually quick turn that piece of property to a very interested buyer, or you'll work with a land realtor like Jason's company, the CarolinaLandRealty.com. But let me give you a few bits of information about land that you may not be aware of. In fact, are you aware that there's over 1.6 billion acres that can be bought and sold in the United States today? Let me repeat that. 1.6 billion acres. That's an astounding amount of acres that can be bought in an area. And so, Jason, he services a particular area, say Greenville, South Carolina. Were you aware that a typical county that someone might be servicing is about 500,000 acres? And so a typical county has a tremendous amount of acreage, and that's why he's able to focus on maybe one, two, or three counties at a time and then have his office revolve around those counties. And so, but the other interesting statistic is that 97% of land in the United States is actually designated by the USDA, a government body, as rural land, 97%, and that only 3% of the land in the United States is designated as urban land. So the majority of our population actually lives on 3% of the available land. And so let me put a number to that. 240 million people actually live on 3% of the land in the United States. That is absolutely astounding. And so now we're in an era that more and more people are interested in learning more about land, whether they're going to be a land investor like me, connecting buyers and sellers, or whether they're going to be the future buyers that are buying for a variety of reasons. But there's 1.6 billion acres available to be bought and sold. That's an utterly astounding amount. Now, there's two areas of land that I pursue so that you can become a little bit better acquainted with me. I help people buy small parcel vacant land that's vacant land that's 20 acres or less. And so this could be land that is usually on a dirt road. There's no utilities run to the property. There's no water and sewer. You would have to drill your own well and put in your own septic tank eventually. Two, there's no street lights. We're talking the country land. We're talking 30 to 45 minutes or farther out from the city limits. And so there's a number of pieces that I have found that are 20 acres or less. And the other option is that I also help investors with raw or undeveloped land. And oftentimes these are the larger pieces of land that are far from existing patterns of development. So, you know, I don't pursue land that's in the city limits. I'm not interested in being a developer. I am someone that helps to connect buyers and sellers. But what types of land am I talking about? We've talked about hunting land in the interview. We talked about recreational land. I help to connect people for retirement, for horse farms, for timberland, for waterfront land, for farmland, for hobby farms, and for conservationist purposes. And so there's a number of subcategories of land that have actually evolved in our economy that many people want to be a part of, and I help to connect those. My life force, though, is the land realtor, and that's why I've asked Jason Walter to be on the broadcast from CarolinaLandRealty.com so that you can be better acquainted with what is a land dealer, a land realtor, and what do they do? They're excellent at connecting buyers and sellers. But my role is to find the pieces of land, and then I utilize the services of a realty company like Carolina Land Realty, where they can help me find the buyers because they have a lot of those marketing mechanisms in place. But keep in mind, once again, that land is by far the simplest and easiest form of real estate on the planet. And if you're looking for a competitive edge as an investor, this is the type of real estate to get involved with right now. And, you know, I sell a real estate program, and I know that some of you who are listening or will listen in the future have actually purchased real estate programs to further your learning in real estate. But right now, a lot of the real estate systems will not work in our current economic times, but mine will. In fact, my land system is the hot system in this market at this time, because there's many challenges in the marketplace, but I'm here to help you gain that competitive edge by being involved in land. In fact, I think we'll agree, if you're an investor, most investors, maybe even 95% of investor activity right now revolves around the housing market. Well, the housing market is not doing so well right now, but land is. And I want to say it another way. You know, when we were kids, we grew up with a Kmart in every major city. Then one day the competitor emerged, Walmart. You know, at first Walmart was just a regional department store. They were in like Oklahoma and Texas, and they only serviced small cities. But, you know, Walmart sensed that Kmart was becoming lackadaisical in their approach to their customers and the changing market conditions. In fact, the economic times were changing, and people were starting to clamor for a better value for their money. You know, Walmart sensed this trend, and they eventually emerged as the number one department store and grocery store chain in the nation. But the bottom line is that Walmart understood how customer demand was changing, and they created a service that spoke to the heartbeat of this new demand, quality products at a low price. And my vacant land guide speaks to the changes that are occurring in our current economic climate. It's not a program based on the Kmart of the past, but on the Walmart of the present. Rural land, as Jason Walter and I talked on our webcast, is emerging as one of the most in-demand forms of real estate in this economy. And I have the state-of-the-art program that speaks to this new demand. It's time for you to get on board with me and learn how to do land deals, because you know what? The next real estate millionaires will emerge because of land. And not only does this out-of-the-ordinary program address current market conditions, I liken my program to buying a franchise. You know, why do investors buy a franchise? In fact, you know, the mother of all franchises is McDonald's. You know, they have figured out a system to how to hire cheap labor and make a product that people will buy over and over and over again. You know what? And they call this a turnkey operation. And what they do, though, this turnkey fatigue operation goes to the minutest of detail. And that fact, you hear that annoying ring every time you go into McDonald's, because that's alerting the staff that the French fries are ready. They know how much ketchup to pump out on each burger. They go into all the different details. But they go into all these details. Why? Because they want you to have the most successful business possible. And so when you buy that franchise, they give you the keys to success. In fact, they practically hand it to you on a silver platter. But when you buy the vacant, you own the vacant land guide. It's like taking a key to unlock a whole new set of ideas and ways to conduct real estate. You may be surprised to know that I've been a part of over 600 land deals, and I've poured over 1,000 hours into creating this program. But the bottom line is I've gone into the minutest of detail so that you too will be successful. But why have I done this? Because I want you to be successful as Jason and I have been. And there's just simply not enough players in the market right now. And, you know, I say over and over again, land is the simplest and easiest form of real estate to be a part of. You know what? I'm part of deals. All they are is they're as is. There's no hidden costs in land. There it is, buddy. It's ready to sell. And so I don't mow a lawn, I don't cut down a tree, but I don't have to do a home inspection. I don't have to take a lot of extra time and energy to learn so that you would need with that to in the housing market, you don't need that with land. But I know that there's some of you who are listening, you want to change the quality of your life. And I come to offer you hope in the midst of the uncertainties of this economy. I'm going to hand you this key, and I'm going to ask you to unlock your new real estate career. You know, when I started in land, I had a 9-to-5 job, and I worked lands on evening and weekends. And so I've designed this state-of-the-art program for you to work 10 to 15 hours a week and be able to bring in a minimum of $5,000 to $10,000 a month, just on a one or two deals a month. I'll teach you how to farm areas, but one of the key strengths to this manual is that I want to teach you how to profile landowners who are willing to sell their property below market value. I'll be able to help you center in on those people quickly and efficiently. And so what I offer is a step-by-step guide. And that's 265 pages of great and relevant information only about land. And then I'm going to throw in 5 free bonuses, absolutely free. A $499 value of a workbook that has 85 pages of case studies, articles, and checklists and sample contracts all focused on land. I'm also going to have a bonus CD that is a part of the program that's forms and documents and contracts all related solely about land. You will not find this information anywhere else. But also, too, I've spent about 100 hours scouring about the Internet, finding the best land websites. And what I've done is I've compiled a document of the best land websites on the Internet so that you can quickly network with other land professionals on different shapes, sizes, and deals of land that you're going to be a part of. And I also provide, as a fourth bonus, you'll get a lifetime subscription to my Vacant Land Guide News, where I actually interview and have articles about different land professionals and different land trends in the United States. This is eventually going to be a publication that you're going to have to pay a monthly fee for. But if you purchase the Vacant Land Guide, you'll get this absolutely free for life. You also get one hour of free phone support after you purchase the Vacant Land Guide, which is absolutely priceless. So when you own the Vacant Land Guide, you receive these 5 bonuses absolutely free, and they have a total value of $1,225. So what are you willing to pay to own a system like this? Many of you have done rehabs, and the profits were smaller than originally estimated because you end up putting more into the project than you expected. You know, when you do a land deal, really rarely do you have any last-minute changes making you less money. Land is so easy and simple to work with, as most deals are as is, so rarely do you have any unexpected complications. If you were to go to my website, Vacant Land Guide, GUIDE.com. You'll see that my Vacant Land Guide is retailed at $14.95. But I have a special for listeners who are on this broadcast, on this webcast, and that's for $9.95. So when you purchase the Vacant Land Guide, you'll actually save $500 off the retail, and I throw in five bonuses valued at over $1,200 absolutely free. So for $9.95, you'll receive a total value of over $2,700 worth of materials. This is absolutely a great deal. But you know, my passion is your success. And you may be surprised to hear that I have too many opportunities and I need your help. You know, there's too many investors in the crowded housing market and not enough land investors. With over 1 billion acres available to be bought and sold, land opportunities are virtually limitless, and you hardly have any competitors to contend with. The manuals are at an affordable value, and in a short time, you'll be able to hit the road running, becoming a successful land investor just like me. You know, the land pros don't want me to get this information out. But it's time for others to be involved in land because the next great land rush is upon us, and we need more investors who are trained and can get in this and get in to land, vacant land real estate. And the key to working with my manual is that many people are frustrated, and many investors are frustrated when they buy a real estate program and they're not sure where to start. I actually have a step-by-step checklist of how to use the manual so that you can hit the ground running quickly and efficiently in land. This is a great opportunity for you to develop your competitive edge that you've been looking for in real estate. So if you wish to order, please contact me through my website at vacantlandguide.com or by calling me at 877-8-VACANT. That's 877-882-2268. Please don't order directly through the website as you'll pay full price. But be a part of the growing group of investors like Jason Walter and I, whose lives have been changed because of vacant land. You know, Jason's only been in land since 2001, and he's done remarkably well. I've only been in land since 2004, and I have done very well, made a six-figure income easily in land. There is opportunities now. Now is the time to get on board. Don't put off that decision any longer and join the ranks of those who know vacant land and make your dreams and goals come true. And lastly, I'd like to thank LandThink.com for sponsoring this webcast. LandThink.com is a great website for those who want to learn more about land and where you can network with other land professionals. I met Jason Walter through LandThink.com when he heard one of my other interviews, and we talked, and then I asked him to come on to this webcast. So if you have an interesting topic that you would like me to interview you when it comes to land, I'd love to hear from you. Please go to my website at vacantlandguide.com, find the contact button on my website, and shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. So thank you so much for listening today. I know that many of you will listen to this as a rebroadcast. Please don't hesitate to be in contact with either Jason Walter at CarolinaLandRealty.com or me, Russell Ward, at VacantLandGuide.com. Thank you for listening.